Thank you and welcome once again to another radio program from the Independence Baptist Church off Forestdale, Missouri. We're glad you're listening this morning, and it is our prayer that you would receive a blessing from hearing the words of God today. We would like to take this opportunity to invite you to the church services at Independence Baptist Church. We meet at 124 South Main in Forestdale, Missouri. That's just west of the post office there in Forestdale. And our services begin this morning at 10 o'clock with Sunday school for every age, and we invite you to come. We have our regular worship service this morning at 11, and then tonight at 4 o'clock we have our evening prayer service, and then at 4:30 will be our worship services tonight. And then Wednesday night at 7 o'clock we have our midweek Bible study. And so these are our services, and we invite you to come. And we know this, that you'll find a warm welcome for you at the Independence Baptist Church. And we know that if you want to worship God, you'll be able to do it in this place. And so we invite you to come. We'd like to begin a new series this morning, and I'm not sure just how long this will last, but we'd like to begin to study concerning the seven sayings of our Savior on the cross of Calvary. You know that it's very important to listen to the words of a dying man. Because when someone is dying, they lay aside all of the superficial things of this world, and they're looking into eternity. And so they have some very important things to say. And we need to look this morning, as we begin this study, concerning the sayings of Jesus while he was hanging upon the cross of Calvary, because the things that he said was very, very important. We'd like to start this morning in the book of Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23, begin our reading in verse 32 as we consider the first thing that Jesus said while he was hanging upon the cross of Calvary. Luke chapter 23, the Bible said in verse 32, "And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left." Now here is a terrible scene before our eyes. This unruly mob has led the Prince of Princes, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. They have led him to a place called Calvary, and here they have crucified him, and on either side of Jesus is a common thief. And here is what Jesus says. When they raise him up above the earth, the Bible said, "Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." This is the very first thing that Jesus said as he was hanging on the cross of Calvary. Notice here that Jesus did not curse those people that was hanging him on the cross. Jesus instead prayed for them. Jesus Christ began his ministry with a prayer. And Jesus Christ ends his ministry with a prayer. Listen, prayer is very important if we are going to have any kind of ministry at all that does anybody any good. If God is to be there with us, then we must pray. In the book of Matthew, the Bible tells us here in this is in the book of Luke, chapter 3, concerning the ministry of Jesus Christ. And the Bible said that when Jesus was baptized and he came up out of the water, the thing that he did was pray. In Luke chapter 3 and verse 21, the Bible said, "Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased." And so the very first thing that Jesus did after he was scripturally baptized by a man sent from God was that he prayed unto God. And then the Bible said the heavens were opened, and here came the Spirit like a dove, descending upon him, and the voice from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. It's good to pray. And Jesus was a praying person. Now, who was it that Jesus prayed for? You know, the Bible said that he prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The people that Jesus was praying for was not the kind of people that we would say would have a good chance of being saved. But the people that Jesus was praying for were those people that were doing him wrong. They were the people that were lost. They were wicked people. They were religious people. They were the ones that had gone through this illegal trial by night. They had broken every law of their society in trying to get Jesus declared guilty and crucified. And those are the people that Jesus was praying for. You know, a lot of times in this life, as we go through it, we look out upon people and we say, well now, there is a good candidate that I can go talk to because they're interested in the words of God. They're interested. You know, that's not who Jesus went to. The Bible said, and Jesus said this, they that behold need not a physician, but they that are sick. I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And that's exactly the kind of people that Jesus prayed for. Those wicked people, those people that were down and out, those people lowly in sin, those are the ones that Jesus prayed for. And that is the kind of people that we need to be praying for, that God would save sinners. It's not what we think about a person's stature or about the way that a person lives or what they do. Listen, Jesus came to save sinners. Jesus came to save the drunks of this world. Jesus came to save the adulterers, the whoremongers, the bar owners. God came to save sinners. Those are the kind of people that Jesus cleanses of their sins. And then all of those other folks that we say, well, they're pretty good folks. They live right, they think right, they do right. They're morally pure. It may be that those are the kind of people that are going to spend their eternity in the lake of fire. Because Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And so Jesus here on the cross of Calvary, he prayed for sinners. And do you know what happened to those sinners that Jesus was praying for? Let me read it to you if you would. In the book of Acts, chapter 2. Some 47 days later, we find here that the apostle Peter is preaching to the very people that crucified our Savior on the cross of Calvary. The book of Acts, chapter 2, the Bible said here, as Peter began his message in verse 22, ye men of Israel, here is Peter doing the preaching. He says, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Oh, listen, that's a very personal message that Peter is bringing. It's not a general message. But Peter is standing there in the midst of these people, and as Peter looks out upon those people and looks them in the eye, face to face, he says, you know that the man that was crucified is Jesus of Nazareth. He is a man approved of God. He is a man who did these miracles and signs, and you know that he did those things. In verse 23, notice what he says. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Peter laid the blame exactly where it deserved to be laid. Those people had crucified Jesus Christ. Those were the people that had driven the nails into his hands and into his feet. The people that Peter was preaching to was the very people that had crucified the Lord. Jesus had prayed for those people 47 days before. And now Peter is preaching to them. What is the result? The Bible said in the book of Acts chapter 3 and verse 37. Acts 2 and verse 37. The result of Peter's preaching. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. And they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Oh, the evident fact is this, that the prayer that Jesus prayed was answered after His death. Let me tell you, we ought to pray for sinners. I mean, pray for sinners by name. That's what Jesus did. He looked out upon the crowd as He was hanging on the cross of Calvary, and He prayed for sinners by name, men whose hearts were hard. Men who we would say would never turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. But we ought to pray that God would turn sinners unto Himself. Because that's the way it's done. I mean hardened sinners. Men and women and boys and girls that hate Jesus. We ought to pray that God would touch their hearts. It may be that after our death, Jesus may come into their heart. It may be that we must needs die before those sinners can be saved. That's what happened to Jesus. But He prayed, and He prayed earnestly, and God heard His prayer, and God saved those people. What a wonderful thing it would be for us to follow the example of God in praying. Notice, now in the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, there are at least 10 things that is prophesied that Jesus would fulfill and that He would pray for those people that strive to harm Him. Notice in Isaiah 53, it's prophesied, number one, that He would be despised and rejected of men. And He was. Number two, that He should be a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And that's exactly what happened to Him. Number three, that Jesus should be wounded, bruised, and chastened. That happened. Number four, that He would be led unresistingly to slaughter. And it happened. Number five, that He should be dumb before His shearers. That happened. Jesus didn't speak against them, nor cry out about His rights. In number six, that He should not only suffer at the hands of man, but also that He should be bruised by His heavenly Father. And that happened on the cross of Calvary. Number seven, that He should pour out His soul unto death. Number eight, that He should be buried in a rich man's tomb. Number nine, that He was numbered with the transgressors. In other words, that there should be thieves on either side of Him, and that's exactly what happened. And number ten, that Jesus should pray for their salvation. And that's exactly what He did. Let me give you this point. Jesus did not forgive their sins on the cross of Calvary. The Bible said, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus did not forgive them because He was playing here the role of man. Jesus was hanging on the cross in the place of sinful man. And so He prayed to His Father to forgive them. I know that Jesus forgave them. For He had compassion upon all men and came to seek and to save that which was lost. He was able to forgive sins in His own role as Savior. But in this case, He prayed, Father, You forgive them. You see, sinners are in the hands of an angry God, and sinners must believe in Jesus Christ. Sinners must come recognizing their guilt and put their faith in a holy Savior. Well, we see that our time has slipped away from us again today. We'll have to continue on this particular saying next Sunday morning, the Lord willing, the saying of Jesus when He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We do pray that you'll come to the services at the Independence Baptist Church and listen again to the continuation of this message next Sunday morning. Thank you now for listening.